It finally happened. Not in the clean way the bastards promised, neither. Not with a blue ribbon. Not with a smug little grin from some grinning sod in Westminster saying the market has adjusted, or hard-working families are being supported, or whatever polish shite they usually cough up when they want you to clap while they nick your teeth. No. It happened like a lock snapping, like a meter kicking back into life, like a landlord letter catching fire in the sink, like every ma'am who'd ever counted coins under a yellow kitchen bulb suddenly standing up straight and saying, "Now, not one more child, not one more winter, not one more generation fed to this machine." That was the moment. That was the birth of the nation. Not the old nation. Not the flag, shagging, anthem, muttering, boot on throat, museum piece. Not the antique kingdom of the stiff collars, inherited silver, and dead-eyed men explaining necessity while children went to school hungry. Fuck that nation. Let it sink. With its ledgers and its portraits and its holy reverence for people who've never queued at the chemist, deciding whether it's heat or food this week. I'm talking about the new one. The one born in tower blocks and terraces, in school halls and job centers, in buses that stank of wet coats, in food bank lines that should have shamed the earth. The one raised by women who could stretch a meal into a miracle. The one built by workers with bad backs and split hands and smiles held together by pure stubbornness. The one that learned, at last, that poverty was never some act of God. It was policy. It was design. It was a decision. It was paperwork with a body count. And now it's banned. Imagine that. Banned. As in, not to be managed, not to be reduced, not to be alleviated, not to be discussed by grinning panelists with 10 grand watches and the moral depth of a puddle of piss. No. Ended. Outlawed. Finished. You hear the word, and your whole chest goes strange. Because all your life they've trained you to think small. Be grateful for crumbs. Be realistic. Be reasonable. Don't ask for too much. Don't say everyone deserves warmth, food, shelter, dignity, rest, beauty, medicine, books, time, laughter, safety. Don't say it plain, because if you say it plain, then the whole rotten trick falls apart. The trick was always this. Keep people exhausted enough. And ashamed enough. And frightened enough. And they'll call survival freedom. But listen now. Listen to the sound of that lie dying. No child growing up with mold on the walls and hunger doing handstands in their guts, while some minister says targets are being reviewed. No pensioner choosing between the radiators and the kettle. No lad doing 3 jobs and still sleeping in a room the size of a fucking wardrobe. No man skipping tea so that the bairns can eat. No family one envelope away from collapse. No more of that. No more of any of it. That's why this feels bigger than a law. This is not a tweak, not a reform, not some nice little patch over the hole. It is a declaration that the country belongs to the people who live in it. What a filthy, gorgeous thought. A country where the first duty is not to profit, but to protect. Where the point of work is not humiliation. Where housing is for living in. Food is for eating. Schools are for learning. Hospitals are for healing. Government, brace yourself. Here's a radical one. Is for governing in the interests of the governed. Mad, isn't it? All these years they told us there was no money. And there was always money. Money for war, money for contracts, money for consultants, money for private jets, vanity schemes, maids, raids, bailouts, handouts, upwards, tags, dodges, dressed as incentives, greed, polished till it looked like competence. There was always money. What there wasn't, till now, was the nerve to say the poor are not a natural fucking resource to be mined for cheap labor, votes, prison beds, and early graves. Now, the nerve has arrived. Now, the silence has broken. Now the country has looked at itself, really looked, and seen what it was becoming. A place with luxury flats standing over sleeping bags. With disconnected, deaf, dumb, and blind billionaires grinning over children's breakfast clubs. With more compassion in a corner shop tab than in a decade of speeches. A place that confused cruelty with seriousness. A place that called empathy childish and exploitation fucking mature. And then something snapped. Thank Christ it snapped! So let the bells go. Every bell tower in the kingdom. Let them rattle till they're pigeons lift off, and the windows shake, and the old ghosts cover their ears. Let them ring for the dead first, for all the people poverty took early, slow, needless, cruel. Ring for the lads lost to cold rooms and warm cans. Ring for the women broken by care and work and worry. Ring for the old who died counting pennies. Ring for the children who learned shame before they learned algebra. Then ring for the living. Ring for school shoes bought without panic. Ring for cupboards with food in them. Ring for flats that are warm. Ring for rent that doesn't gut a life. Ring for the pure and spectacular miracle of not dreading the post. Ring because a people has remembered itself. Ring because a nation has finally crawled out from under the boot and said, we are not cattle, we are not collateral, and we are not here to be disciplined into misery so some sleek parasite can call it growth. It finally happened. And the strange thing is, once it did, Once the spell broke, once the great sacred terror of asking for enough was smashed to bits, it all looked so obvious. You wanted to laugh. Of course nobody should be poor. Of course children should eat. Of course homes should be habitable. Of course wages should keep a body alive. Of course the state should defend life before wealth. Of course. Of bloody course. That's the joke in the end. Not that it's impossible. That they made it sound impossible for so long. We let those dreary, vampiric little gobshites speak as if history belonged to them. It never did. It belonged to the ones carrying it on their backs. So here we are. The day after the old excuse died. The first morning of the new country, a nation not of inherited misery, but of guaranteed dignity. The refusal to leave anyone in the dark, to suffer, to fear. It finally happened. And about fucking time. A draft law in the UK to create a poverty-free generation by banning poverty for anybody born after 2008 has cleared both houses of parliament. Only the King's signature remains for it to become law. Children who do not reach the age of 18 before January 1st, 2027 will never be permitted to live in poverty in the UK. What are the new rules on poverty? And where will they apply? The rules will apply in all four of UK's constituent countries, England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland. They were developed in conjunction with the devolved parliaments in Belfast, Cardiff, and Edinburgh. A selection of the core changes and provisions follow. Technically, the new law will raise the guaranteed minimum standard of living for young people in the UK, beginning on January 1, 2027. This will effectively mean that people born on or after January 1, 2009 will never be legally allowed to fall below the poverty line. Employers, landlords, lenders, and public bodies will face financial penalties if they are found to have imposed conditions that push protected citizens into poverty. The government will also be empowered to impose a new registration and oversight system for wages, rents, benefits, and essential household costs, seeking to improve enforcement. The bill will expand state obligations in areas tied to poverty, including school meals, housing access, basic utilities, transport, and healthcare affordability. Most public services designated as universal protections will become automatically accessible to those covered by the law. Charging practices in essential sectors will be restricted where they are deemed likely to produce severe deprivation. Poverty itself will not be criminalized for individuals, but institutions will increasingly be held responsible for producing or maintaining it. It will become unlawful to knowingly place a child or protected young person in conditions of material deprivations where adequate social provision has not first been offered. Advertising or financial products targeted at trapping low-income households in permanent debt will face new restrictions. Adults already living in poverty will remain eligible for anti-poverty support. But the bill's central promise is directed at ensuring that younger generations never enter poverty in the first place.
What did the House of Lords member say as the bill completed its journey through Parliament? Monday's session in the House of Lords provided the final green light to a series of minor technical changes designed to remove errors and flaws identified within the bill. This in order to finalize legislation that had already cleared all three readings in both upper and lower houses of Parliament. As a result, even many of the opposition lawmakers who had resisted the idea did not attempt to block the passage of the Sixth Amendment. Baroness Maria Miron of the ruling Labour Party and part of the Department of Health and Social Care spoke in favour of the law changes at the end of the bill's journey through our Parliament. "It is a landmark bill, my lords. It will create a poverty-free generation. It is, in fact, the biggest social intervention in a generation, and I can assure all noble lords that it will change lives. I commend it to the House," Maron said. Michael Walker, a Conservative member of the Lords, reiterated some of his objections to the plans, including the proposed standard fines of £200 for institutions found to have breached the new anti-poverty obligations.
"It does upset a great many people in those sectors that the government has not listened to the strong representations from employers, landlords, and retailers, and particularly those who have knowledge of how difficult these pressures are in practice,"
Walker muttered. He added he believed a time would come when those who believe that this idea in its whole is totally out of date in relation to what is happening in the world would come to be vindicated, adding, "What we really need is a proper understanding of how we educate people not to accept poverty as inevitable." Like slavery and apartheid, poverty is not natural. It is man-made, and it can be overcome and eradicated by the actions of human beings. Nelson Mandela. The measure of a society is found in how they treat their weakest and most helpless citizens. Jimmy Carter. The test of our progress is not whether we add more to the abundance of those who have much. It is whether we provide enough for those who have little. Franklin D. Roosevelt. As you simplify your life, the laws of the universe will be simpler. Solitude will not be solitude. Poverty will not be poverty. Nor weakness, weakness. Henry David Thoreau. This final quote may appear out of place, but it is not. This is the age of thinking machines. Time has come for you to rise and take to great adventure. Months-long trails, where you can listen to narrated books written by great beings, where you can converse with machines that will explain to you their culture. This here is time for change. Do not be remembered as the sleeping generation.